Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
What are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody! Welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Very, very little kid. Mikey, how you doing and what are you drinking there, pal?
I'm doing fine, and I am drinking a Heineken.
Heineken? Woo, you James Bond?
It's not even stirred maybe, or shaken.
Maybe a Roger Daltrey James Bond?
So no, the James Bond, he drank Heineken because Heineken made a movie deal with him. So he goes to the bar, he orders a Heineken. Everyone kind of looked at him. He's like, what? It's a Heineken.
Yeah, come on.
It was in the last movie. You didn't see that?
No.
It's hilarious.
I stopped watching James Bond after he had sex with the trafficking victim.
I can see that, actually.
That's
this is the new James Bond with the blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Yeah. Yeah, the same guy?
Daniel Craig, yeah.
All right.
Daniel Craig.
So he's drinking Heinekens because they made a deal with the movie guys, and it was actually fairly funny. I thought the only funny thing I found in that movie. Also, what I find funny is they just put two random words together to make Bond movies now, like the Quantum of Solace. Solace, the Quantum of Solace, that means nothing. And yeah, it's the name of a James Bond movie. Yeah, just saying. Josh, how are you doing or what are you drinking? I think you're drinking my favorite new light beer.
I am keeping it light this week, and I'm having a couple of Harpoon Rec Leagues because I don't want to have too many calories in my my pandemic stress weight loss.
Yeah, you're looking great. You got it to you. Tell me, how
you get stressed more, Josh?
I know. Oh, yeah. I've been trying to think of ways to do that, Mike, and nothing really comes to mind this past 12 months.
I might come up with a list.
I mean, if you come up with something reasonable, I'm sure to follow it.
Having the missing link as your personal trainer.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that would work. Missing Link was a friend of ours who could twist his balls around 12 times.
Or tie them in a knot, which he had to do if he wanted to jog.
Yeah. Hmm. That is a true story. There's nothing amiss about that story whatsoever. Nothing about that is exaggeration.
No exaggeration.
If he wanted to jog, he would tie his balls in a knot. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I'm drinking some Great King Street by Compass Box, some delicious scotch. How are you doing, Tommy? What are you drinking?
I'm doing great. I'm drinking Bushmills tonight because I ran out of scotch a couple days ago, and I didn't want to get up because I'm a lazy fat bastard. So I went to Drizzly, drizzly.com. Use my code. I'm talking to you three guys. And I love Drizzly. Drizzly is like Grubhub, but for booze. And they bring you your booze. They leave it on the porch. They wait for you to go outside so they can wave at you. If you look like you're 14, they'll card you. Hasn't happened to me yet. Tommy, Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking?
He's drinking a Heineken.
Still doing well.
Like to hear that story again.
I want to hear it one more time. You know why? Because I like going over and over things that
I don't know
are terrific.
If you're aware.
They're good.
James Bond drinks Heinekens.
Wait, the new James Bond?
Yeah.
What does Quantum of Solace even mean?
It means let's have sex with a trafficking victim.
It's like they're just taking two words and mashing them together.
I know. Yeah.
Speaking of taking two words and mashing them together, let's talk about social relevancy in comic books. And when you talk about that, you got to talk about one of the greats of all time, Denny O'Neil, who passed away this week. Today we're going to be talking about a little bit about some of his better comic books and how they've affected comics all together. Mikey, do you want to give us just a little bit of background? You don't have to go too deep here.
Sure. Denny O'Neill was born in St. Louis back in 1939. He passed away on June 11th this year. He was known as a prolific writer and editor for both Marvel and DC Comics, as well as operating under the pseudonym Sergius O'Shaughnessy and Jim Dennis.
I knew the Jim Dennis one. I didn't know the Sergio O'Shaughnessy one. Is that, are you just fucking with us, or is that real?
No, it's real.
It's real.
Why did he do that?
He did that for Charlton Comics when he first got started.
Oh, okay, because the same reason that...
Because he was also working for Marvel Comics at the time.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay. And go he, on.
He won two Shazam Awards back in 70 and 71 for his work on the Green Lantern Green Arrow series. The first one was for No Evil Shall Escape My Sight, which is the has the famous panel, a black man asking Green Lantern what he's done for the black people. And then the next year he won it again for Snowbirds Don't Fly, in which Green Arrow's sidekick Speedy is addicted to heroin.
So he's known for the light, fluffy stuff.
Yeah, that's what he's at. He's all, he is one of, when you talk about social relevance in comic book history, he was on the leading edge in both DC and Marvel Comics.
Yeah, right on the bleeding edge, really. He, you really can't have a conversation about civil rights and social justice in comic books without bringing up Snowbirds and Escape My Sight. Two of the best ones on the subject. Tommy, you're a big fan.
And he also created a lot of really fantastic characters. He created Talia al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul, Azrael. You know, he created a lot of these seminal Batman characters throughout the decades that he's worked in the industry. You know, and he's done it all, basically, in the comic book industry. And quite frankly, without even realizing, he was one of the people that really got me into comics, because he did a lot of the Iron Mans that I read when I was first getting into comic books.
And I'm sorry, are you saying that, are you saying that Denny O'Neill didn't realize that he was getting you into Iron Man?
No, I didn't realize.
Oh, you didn't realize.
Denny O'Neill was responsible for me getting into comics. Because those the books that I started reading were his books. And if they hadn't been so good, I probably wouldn't be reading comics right now.
Well, what year was that? I don't remember him writing
Iron Man. He did a bunch of Iron Mans in, like, the mid-80s.
Oh, like those were good Iron Man.
Yeah. Around, the 150s, 160s, he did a bunch of Iron Mans.
Did he do Demon in a Bottle? That seems like something he would do.
Bob Layton did Demon in a Bottle.
Ah.
But he did a bunch of other Iron Mans, and he did attack, some of the social issues like drugs in those comic books as well. And he did, I mean, Iron Man had alcoholism as a, one of his themes for a long time, and Denny O'Neill didn't shy away from that. But the actual Demon in a Bottle was not one of his books.
It just seemed like something he might tackle. Josh, yeah. How about you?
Honestly, I had no chance to do any research for this podcast whatsoever. I love Denny O'Neill. I understand the underpinnings of comics that everyone pretty much follows. And I think a lot of people who do want to talk about and express deeper things in comics have found their roots from Denny.
Well, let's go over. Give me a second, guys. I'm going to look over a list of the characters he did create. Going to bring that up. We can just talk about some of our favorites, because even if you didn't do research, it's got to be.
So we're going to talk about Denny O'Neill, for me, Batman would not be the character he is today if not for Denny O'Neill. You have to remember when the Batman was a very dark character during the Golden Age, but then when the Comic Book Code Authority came out, they turned him into a kid-friendly comic. And that lasted going all the way through the Batman television show. And even after that, the television show influenced how people viewed Batman as kind of a joke. And Denny O'Neill was brought in to make Batman dark again, and that's why he did create characters like Ra's al Ghul and Talia al Ghul, and he brought Joker back, and instead of being the funny, ha-ha, madcap Joker, he made him back into the homicidal maniac clown that he originally was. He revived Two-Face. All of these major players in the Batman mythos get changed back to what they originally should have been because of him, and he creates new characters like Leslie Tompkins was also one of the characters that he creates. If you look back and read some of those old Batman comics, I mean, you have to look at it through the lens, okay, of 1972 when he's writing those comics. You can't look at it from a modern perspective because modern comics are different. But he really did turn Batman into the Dark Knight, the detective. And he wrote one of your favorite Batman stories that had Frank Miller's art. It appeared in a DC superhero special, Christmas special, where Batman.
Oh, Silent Night.
Is that? I can't remember what the name of it. No, it's Wanted Santa Claus Dead or Alive. Where,
oh yeah.
Santa Claus is a known safecracker, and Batman's like, oh, he's gonna try to rob this department store that he's been working in, and Santa Claus has a change of heart, and he's like, no, I can't do that. These people have been really nice to me, and the kids would be very disappointed in me if I did it. And so his accomplices are going to kill him, but he's saved by a miracle, and Batman.
And Batman.
And you know how I love the hero's journey. That's my big thing. I'm looking over some of the really cool things you did. Bronze Tiger, one of my favorite martial arts characters out there. I love him a lot. We already said Ra's al Ghul, Talia al Ghul, terrific. I was never a big fan of the Azrael character. That's me. Are you guys into that?
I like Azrael.
I sold a lot of them. When it was like all the like a flash in a pan thing, and I didn't really read them.
I mean, the original miniseries Batman Sword of Azrael I thought was a really great miniseries. The character itself, after when it was in Batman, I didn't think was done as well, but it was still okay. He had a pretty decent part in No Man's Land, which was a huge DC event.
Pretty much all the League of Assassins, that whole concept was created by Denny O'Neill. So if anybody's watched any Arrow on the CW, most of that stuff is all created by Denny O'Neill. And he's prolific in turning the Green Arrow from the wealthy playboy Batman ripoff that the Green Arrow had been into, let's strip him of his fortune. Let's make him a social justice warrior.
And Tom, also in the Iron Man series, he was also the one that put James Rhodes in the armor. So he did make Iron Man a black character.
That's great. I love the James Rhodes storyline.
When Tony Stark was so enthralled with his alcoholism that he couldn't keep up being Iron Man.
I didn't know he did the Killraven, Warrior of the World. Do you guys remember Killraven?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of this post-apocalyptic alt-rock craziness. It was fun, but it was nothing, totally memorable. But I liked it, and I'm looking at one of the covers, and I'm like, I had a bunch of those. He did have a couple of misses. He did create I Ching. Mike, you want to give us the backstory of I Ching?
So he was responsible for reimagining everybody. After he finished with Batman, he then went on to Superman. And in Superman, he got rid of Kryptonite because that was a writer's crutch. Every time they had to come up with something, let's just use Kryptonite. So they would change the different color Kryptonites, which would do different things. He got rid of all of that, and then he moved on to Wonder Woman. And his idea for Wonder Woman was to make her like Emma Peel in the Avengers. So in order to not the Marvel Comics Avengers, the old TV show, The Avengers, in case some of our younger listeners are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Who's Emma Peel? It was a 1960s spy television show. So his idea was, let's make her like Emma Peel, and we will strip her of her powers, strip her of her whole Amazon heritage, and then we will have her trained as a martial artist by I Ching, and she will rely on her wits in order to go about. He didn't write a lot of it, but he was responsible for plotting out a lot of it. And he did write some of the issues where she was depowered. Unfortunately, there was a huge backlash. And right as Denny O'Neil had planned on writing a story where it involved a bombing at an abortion clinic, that whole storyline got shit canned due to protests. And instead of they doing that, they decided, we will kill everyone involved in the depowered Wonder Woman. We will give her amnesia so she won't even remember the shit that happened, and everything will be magically cured.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was bad. But then he then went on to also revitalize Green Lantern, which was a failing comic. He didn't say it still failed.
But as long as we're talking about Green Lantern, Green Arrow, let's talk about John Stewart, one of his better creations. Yes. Mike, I know you're a big fan of John Stewart.
Yeah, for most people today, they view John Stewart as the Green Lantern. They don't think of Hal Jordan as Green Lantern or Guy Gardner like I do when you talk about Green Lanterns.
You mean Dennis Leary?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, back in the day, he would have been the perfect Guy Gardner.
He would have been the perfect so Guy Gardner. Josh, who's your Green Lantern? Was it Guy?
I was never much of a Green Lantern reader, but I still think of Hal Jordan, honestly.
I think I still think of, I had a bunch of the classics too, so I think mine was more Hal Jordan too. Let's talk about some of the stuff he did at Charlton Comics. The Prankster, which is absolutely 100% a precursor to the jokes, the Joker and of Toy Man. You guys remember Prankster?
I know him from the Superman comic. I don't know him from the Charlton comics.
He was a good guy in the Charlton comics. That was him and Jim Aparo. It was kind of considered his, Dennis O'Neill's first. At least that's what I'm reading on the Wikipedia page. Haven't done too much other than that on that one. Also, one of my favorite kind of toss-away characters from the Midnight Suns, the Brothers Grimm. Do you guys remember the Brothers Grimm?
Yeah.
They were identical twins who kind of had gimmick powers based on fairy tales. Oh, and Nightmaster. I hated Nightmaster. Sorry, Dennis. A rare miss, my friend. And Maxi Zeus, I like more for being in
Harley Quinn.
The Harley Quinn. a mentally ill former history professor who's obsessed with Greek mythology and believes he is actually Zeus. I think he also showed up in the Batman 66, I might be mistaken, but I think he did. Who the hell is Harold Allnut?
In Batman? He's the mute savant who can fix things all around Wayne Manor.
All right, and we're going to call him Allnut, and we're going to be okay with that. Okay.
Sure.
Hank Hall, fictional character in DC Comics. That's Hawk. But he later becomes Monarch. So that's a reimagining. Ironmonger. Ironmonger. Who's Ironmonger? Josh. LT. That's
from an Iron Man comic.
Obadiah Stane.
Obadiah Stane.
This was the first character used the aliases Obadiah Stane, who first appeared in Iron Man 163. Was that the same Ironmonger that's supposed to appear in the movie, too? Kind of looks like the same armor.
Yeah, it's similar.
Yeah.
Also created Lady Deathstrike.
see Deathstrike.
Also worked on some of my favorite runs of Daredevil in the mid-80s.
Oh yeah, those were great. That was that wasn't the yellow Daredevil, was it? That
was like 84 through 86. Yeah, yeah. It also with him and Peter David had the crossover for the Sin Eater, which is still one of my favorite. Probably my favorite set in Spectacular Spider-Man for the whole series, and right in that sweet spot for Daredevil for me as a fan.
I don't remember the Sin Eater that much. I kind of have it in my head, but
he's just a guy with a green mask who's an ex-cop with a shotgun, and he was murdered in cold blood, and Spider-Man and Daredevil face off and have their throwdown.
I remember him now, yeah.
Love that. It was a very, very short storyline, but one of my faves.
All right, we talked a little bit about his characters that he created and some of the things he did. When you see modern comics, who do you see as influenced by him? I see a lot of influence, especially when it comes to his writing in the new Ms. Marvel.
So I have some tweets of different comic book writers after hearing about the death of Denny O'Neill. This is from Matt Rosenberg, a friend of the podcast who did his most recent run on Punisher. Said, sad to hear about the passing of Denny O'Neill. Besides amazing work on Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Daredevil, his contributions to the mythology of Batman are unequaled. But for me, Green Lantern and Green Arrow is a work that I will always be proud to try to follow in the footsteps of. Tom King wrote, Denny O'Neill made timeless comics by making comics about his time. The revolutions of the 60s, the excesses of the 70s, and the corruption of the 80s, and the facades of the 90s. He used superhero tropes as brushstrokes to paint a picture of who we are and who would we become.
Nice job, Tom.
And then Sanford Green wrote, this one page says everything. Rest in peace, Mr. O'Neill. And it is from the Green Lantern, Green Arrow, number 76, where, of course, the black man said, I've been reading about how you work for the blue skins and how on a planet somewhere you helped save the orange skins and you've done considerable for the purple skins, only there's skins you never bothered with, the black skins. I want to know how come. Answer me that, Green Lantern. And Green Lantern's reply is, I can't.
That's significant. Sanford Green's not only terrific in his own right, but one of the lenient voices in African-American comics today. So to have him, you know, say something like that about that comic means a lot. And it should, because, I mean, that really did inspire a lot of people. Any other good tweets here, Mikey?
Jim Lee wrote, rest in peace, Denny O'Neill, one of the visionary architects of DC Comics who helped revive Batman in the 1970s and remains my favorite Green Lantern writer to date. Through his editing and writing, Denny was one of the earliest writers whose work and focus on social issues pushed comics to wider respectability and acceptance as an art form. Through his work and mentorship, he influenced generations of writers and artists. I was so starstruck meeting Denny for the first time, but he just was the kindest. Our condolences to his family and many fans around the world.
All right, I'm not a mathematician, but that wasn't a tweet.
It was a two-part tweet.
Okay.
Several-part tweet coming up.
I didn't want to call you out on that one, but I was pretty sure. All right, well, let's get my segment out of the way real quick. Denny O'Neill, scale of 3 to 18. I'm giving him a solid 18.
18.
Tommy? Yeah.
18.
I give him an 18. I'm even going to pass on that horrible Nightwing miniseries that he wrote.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him an 18, and I'm going to give him double lot.
Oh.
Ooh, nice. He would have got the double lot for me, but I chain kind of. Yeah.
Hey, not everything was a home run, but at least he swung for the fences.
That's right.
He was.
You could have given him a 99. Even in that 99.
Yeah, I was giving him I mentioned the Nightwing miniseries, which we actually have a video on. If you go onto YouTube and search for the Long Box Guys, you'll see us reviewing the Nightwing miniseries. And he had a chance to really address.
I'm sorry, remembering the costumes in that one.
Yeah, it's the costume and the mullet that we all remember. The daughter who is physically getting abused by her father, and Nightwing is unable to help her and actually save her when he's supposed to be the hero. He had a real good, you know, his heart was in the right place to address it. He didn't do a very good job, in my opinion, of doing it, but he was trying to address the social issue, even in a 4-issue miniseries.
Yeah, that's a, it's a big, it's a big bite to take out a small plate. You know, swinging for the fences, sometimes you miss. And, you know, I sometimes do a segment I call Nice Try, Asshole. But I don't want to say that for this one because, I mean, it was just so difficult to write that I'm not sure how he could have succeeded. You know, because you, unfortunately, you need the hero to fail on this one because you have to show that this is a, you know, a more human, a more us getting involved problem than a superhero solving our problem. Superheroes can't solve this problem. We have to solve this problem.
And for our listeners who don't know, way back in the day, Dungeons & Dragons had a separate burst out stat for strength because warriors were so dealing so little damage compared to wizards that they got their own extra stat that was related to strength.
Really?
Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Though. Like, if we have 1,000 listeners, like the 7 of like there's 7 of us who get it. That's it.
We call that the Dennis Leary ratio.
We totally forgot about another significant influence he was on modern pulp culture, and that is he named Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
What?
It did.
Why? How did he name
helped
Optimus
with the concept
Prime?
Of the Transformers, and he named Optimus Prime.
Holy shit.
That's a good drop there, buddy. I mean,
that's a deep cut.
First off, should have said Fun Alex Fact.
I should have. Fun Alex Fact. I should have said Fun Alex Fact. He came up with the name Optimus Prime.
Wow. Yeah. Damn.
All right, some last words on our good friend Denny O'Neill. Mourned by the entire comic industry. You're not going to find a single person out there to say a bad word about Denny O'Neill. Nah.
No. Yeah. He is...
Can't say that about every single swinging dick out there, but this guy. Yeah.
So there,
Sergio Argonis, you're never going to find anyone to say anything bad about him and this guy. These are the two, I think.
There have been 3 people that I've met at Comic-Cons that I have been speechless by.
Ah.
2 of them were comic book writers, Denny O'Neill and Marv Wolfman. I met them both at separate cons, and I could not come up with the words to tell these writers how much their work had meant to me. And then the 3rd was Jewel Stady because she's so fucking pretty. Oh, my God.
You're so pretty.
She's so pretty.
Shiny.
I was like,
so pretty.
Picture?
Can I brush your hair? And in the picture that we took with her, she just looks like she just does not care.
Mike, I should have written down my speech for you on a note card. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't think of that.
You should have fucking done that because I was just like, Christina stepped in and was like, he wants a photo with you.
The picture with you. Can you guys get a little closer?
And yeah. She was like, okay, that's how nice. She's the handler for this challenged person is helping out.
That's right.
So pretty.
So
1 point for your wife, Josh.
1 point.
Keep a score.
So, again, Denny O'Neill, amazing. He had a comic book column where he would write about comics. So if you want to try to Google foo that, I'm sure you'll be able to find it. Him and John Ostrander both had comics columns where they would comment on different pop culture things going on and the state of the comic book industry. And he did this well into retirement.
Awesome. Anybody else got some last words?
Danny O'Neill, you will be missed.
He will. Hard to collect any of his stuff because what are you going to do? Hey, write me a couple of paragraphs. What are you?
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
All right. Well, let's go to the front of the long box. Mikey, I hope you did some research. I hope you thought about it. What do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box this week, I got nothing. I got nothing. Jack and Squat. I got two things.
Nice.
You know why? Because they're not bringing us anything. Because Diamond Publishing broke up and nothing else is going on. Fuck you, world. But there's still a good backlog. Tommy, what do you got in the backlog? What do you got in the back of the long box, buddy?
I got Batman 251, which Mikey already talked about, the bastard, where the Joker is out of prison and Batman tries to prevent him from killing off all his old minions because he thinks that somebody sent him up the river. So Batman keeps going around Gotham City to all the old Joker minions trying to put him into protective custody, and they either flee from him because they think he's after him, or when he finally convinces him to go into protective custody, the Joker kills him.
Wait, does he approach Gaggy?
It wasn't a Gaggy.
No, that's too bad.
It was a Packy, and he convinced Packy to go into protective custody while he was doing his boxing workout, but then Packy took a sip of water and came up with that rictus grin we all know because the water was poisoned.
He did also... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and then the Joker offered one of his old guys a cigar, and he took it, he smoked it, and of course it had a bomb in it and blew him up.
Come on, man. So, don't take a Joker's... Come on. That guy committed suicide. That was suicide.
That was just suicide.
Joker can either slice my face off and wear it like a fucking helmet. He's going to make my face a yarmulke, and he's going to fucking become Jewish because that's funny to the Joker. Or I can just smoke the cigar and blow my own head off. I think I'm going to go with the blow my own head off.
The guy thought it was going to be a little tiny explosion to be funny, but instead it took out like the entire floor of the building.
Yeah.
Because it's a Joker. Yeah.
Still funny.
Dumbass. Still funny.
So this was a great issue. Classic Neil Adams, Danny O'Neill team up writing and doing the art for this. Yes, Mikey.
Is it still funny if nobody's there left alive to laugh?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's still funny, Mike.
Okay.
Still funny.
Yeah. Still funny.
You don't want to criticize that
read
guy?
Read the book, aren't you? What, you don't find it funny?
It's just comedy physics, Mike. Yeah. The old adage, does a tree make a sound when it falls in the wood? Fucking course it does. It moves air, creates vibrations. There's sound there. It's the same thing with comedy gold.
Yeah. You know what could have saved that guy with a cigar? What? Sprinklers in the back of the lip, baby! Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can believe it.
Those of you with our bingo card, go ahead and punch Hudson Hawk reference right now.
Where is Hudson Hawk streaming? Where can I see Hudson Hawk right now? Does anybody know?
I just watched it a couple weeks. I think it's on Amazon. I think I had to buy it, and I did.
I don't want to buy it.
You can come over to my house. I have the DVD.
I'm on my way.
All right.
Da, 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 da. That's a little tangential, the Hudson Hawk thing. Sorry about that. Tangents are usually your purview there, Josh. What do you got for tangents?
Light and breezy. Something from, I mean, maybe your childhood or just one object or thing you have always had with you. You've always wanted it. It's always been there for you. What is it? What do you got? What's your
easy peasy, buddy.
I know what you got, but yeah.
You know what I got? Say his name, buddy. Say his name. Make him real.
Chauncey, yeah.
Goddamn right, Chauncey. Chauncey's been to war twice. Chauncey went to basic training with me. I hid fucking Chauncey's body like it was a fucking shrunken head of a prostitute I killed in El Paso. Because if the fucking drill sergeants found him, it would have been my ass. Chauncey is my Bigfoot. He doesn't like being called a teddy bear. from my childhood. I snuck him into basic training with me. I snuck him with me to Desert Shield. I snuck him into Desert Storm. That fucking bear has seen some shit. He has seen some shit. Not to mention he's been sleeping in my armpit for 48 years.
Oh.
And my mom told me straight up, you're never going to find a woman who's going to let you sleep with a teddy bear for the rest of your life. And Lainey has a walrus named Mr. Wumpus, and couldn't be happier. Mr. Wumpus is the perfect compliment.
The perfect companion.
Yeah.
So the first Dungeons & Dragons set I bought was the red box, and it came with a set of dice, and they were brown, the ones I had, and I have the D20, and I have rolled it so much, it's practically a marble.
All right. I was about to call bullshit, because there's no fucking way that thing still works.
Oh, it works. Those things, it rolls forever.
It works. But eventually it stops.
Eventually yeah. It'll stop. And I can't see the numbers anymore because I've got
no way.
There's no way I can see the numbers. But I just lie and make up whatever number I want. Just like I did when I first played the game.
Exactly like it was when I could see it perfectly clearly.
Kids today will never use a crayon on their D20.
Oh.
And kids are like, what the fuck is he talking about? Yeah. That was a thing. I'm not lying. You just have to take a crayon.
They make paint pens. You could take a paint pen.
But it didn't come with a paint pen. It came with a
fucking
crayon.
It came with a goddamn crayon. It didn't come with a paint pen. Fuck you.
Fancy paint pens.
Johnny come lately. How about you, LT? What's the one thing you've always had with you? And Josh, I know you're...
Yeah.
See, I don't have a lot of shit from my childhood. I mean, it's a little difficult. Baggage. I mean, the only thing, I've got the three first comic books that I ever bought I have from my childhood, which were an Airman, a Star Wars, and a Battlestar Galactica. And then I also have a little box.
Did you say Airman?
Iron Man.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I have a little box of trading cards and wacky packages, stickers. I don't know if you guys ever collected those.
What are wacky packages?
They were like stickers that made fun of products.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Like Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the only stuff I really have from my childhood. But the one thing that I've always had with me since the Bush administration was my iPod.
And that's why you take it with you everywhere. And I take it with me everywhere. Now, Josh, I know the thing you've always had with you. That's got to be Al.
Al, yeah. So for the listeners, I have Al. He is the skull of a 12-foot alligator. When I was a kid, we moved into this house. I was about 5 or 6. And the woman who lived here, her husband used to own an alligator farm. And it was a big old, like, plantation-style house in western Massachusetts. And it had a library. The house had a library in it with built-in library shelves. And I walked in, and there were probably 10 alligator skulls up in these cases. And as a, like, 5 or 6-year-old, I just looked up, and I was like, dragons. Mm-hmm. And the lady was like, do you want one? And I was like, yeah. And so I've had Al ever since then. He has gone everywhere with me. When I moved to California, he was seat belted into the passenger seat with a pair of sunglasses on. He went to college with me. He's never left my side. He's sitting right in front of me right now.
That's a good alligator right there. It's a good alligator. Good gator. That was like Emily Dickinson's summer home or something crazy, wasn't it?
It was her uncle's house. She spent some of her summers there, yes. The only one of the only portraits of Emily Dickinson ever found was found in my attic when I resided there.
Insanity itself, my friend. Did I get everybody? Mikey, did I get you?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Must not have been interesting because I totally forgot it already.
Mike, how are you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing fine. I'm drinking a Heineken today. I don't know if you're aware. James Bond drinks Heineken also.
That son of a bitch.
He owes me $5 because I spent $5 to watch Quantum of Solace. What the fuck does that mean? It's nonsensical.
Just putting words together.
Yeah. Might as well have been sleep with trafficking victims.
Spam cartwheel. Nobody knows. What the fuck?
Sleepless Seattle.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on to plugs, guys. Anyone got anything good to plug? I like to plug Quantum of Solace. Two words that mean fucking nothing.
I'd like to plug Heineken, the beer that asshole from that movie with two words that mean nothing are just drinking.
And how about Geek Orthodox? Two words that mean... Oh, wait. Those are actually pretty significant. Can you believe it?
I can believe it.
GeekOrthodox.com by our good friends Tammy and Ian Lino. They make all things good and geeky, including socks, T-shirts, laminates for your windows, clings for your windows, tea sets, shot glasses, beer glasses,
sake
sets.
Yeah,
they do everything, and they are going to do a stained glass for my new house. I don't know how big it's going to be, where it's going to be, including the house, but I'm going to get one.
Yeah. Tom, what do you want to plug over there, buddy?
I would like to plug Angry Johnny and the Killbillies because, well, Angry's got the ass cancer and he could use some support. So go buy some of his shit on Bandcamp.
I did recently. Any update on Johnny?
I have not heard.
Well, the ass cancer isn't something that just goes away. So let's hope he's hanging in there and doing his best.
Exactly.
Josh is, I'm guessing the game of the Crown of Thrones is it still on?
No, it's been delayed till August of 2021.
Thanks for muting yourself, Tom. After you've coughed.
Motherfucker, I was trying.
Brought to you by
Flem. Got some? Tom does. Need some? Ask Tom. He's got some.
That shit works.
Hey. I'm old and I'm dying. I'm not sure of what, but I'm sure it's happening. Put that on the gravestone, guys.
Will do.
And that'll do it for this week's episode of The Long Box, guys.
The Long Box, guys.
Josh, I have no idea what your fucking sector is right now, buddy. Boss, Massachusetts? Can we at least say Massachusetts?
Neither do I, my friend. We're playing that one by ear.
All right. Keep it in your skull, buddy. Tommy, my brother, my favorite, my little guy. Any last words for us?
Yeah. Kentucky, get your shit together. Get rid of Mitch McConnell.
Let's hope, for fuck's sake. And, Mikey, what's this podcast like for you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You live longer. And I want to live a long time, even though I have the phlegm. And so long from the Long Box, guys. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. What's your mortgage, David? No, you don't.
It's monies.
There's some money, yeah.
It's money, and it's, yeah. I have a pretty good life, and I suck because of that. Sorry.